So our scripture today is from Galatians. It's chapter 5, verses 1 and then 13 through 25. So this begins with 1. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. And then beginning with 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you before, but those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So I call this the good and the Holy Spirit. So in this part of Galatians, Paul becomes more practically minded, giving us things to do or not to do, as the case may be, and speaks on how our lives should be lived. So first obligation is to God. Our second obligation is to our neighbors. Who are our neighbors? A little louder. Who are our neighbors? Everybody's our neighbors. So Christian freedom doesn't mean that we should indulge ourselves in the dark side of human behavior. And you can read in the newspaper every day when people choose to fulfill their own personal things and it causes harm to others. So when you were telling the story about the guy running from police, whatever he was running for, they clearly knew who he was. So why did then, as he tries to run away from the problems he's created, does he put other people in harm's way? And so a lot of times, the things that we do, we create problems for other people. So he starts with this list of things, and these are the things we want to avoid at all cost. Now, the first one seems kind of backwards, but so he talks about chastity. In this case, 2,000 years ago, Christians were the only ones that were acting like chastity was important. Because especially the Greeks, the more partners you had, the better off you were, because it made you feel better, and because they were all about the body. Whatever made you feel better was what you should do. I think maybe a lot of the world's Greek now, we just don't know it, because so many people do things that are just for self-importance, self-making ourselves feel better. And so for people to just have a spouse and be faithful was very different from what other people were practicing, and so that's why he's talking about this. Impurity, so in the Old Testament, and I was in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about the Good Samaritan, and really one of the reasons the priest didn't want to go help the guy was because if he was dead, he was then impure. He couldn't go to the temple for 7 days. But I've had people in churches that didn't think they were good enough to come to the Lord. And I would tell you, if we had to wait till we're good enough, none of us would ever get to go. And so impurity in this case means you're not, I would say it's more in the right mind. We want to get our minds in the right place to accept what God wants us to do, to drive us in the way he wants us to be driven. Wantonness is a lack of restraint. It's when you can't control yourself, your wishes, that you just totally lose control. And so he cautions us this. Now, idolatry, a lot of times when I think we think of idolatry, we're thinking of other gods, because we saw the Jewish people, once Moses was gone for a while, they made the decision that by some miracle this calf forms with all the gold they give, and then everybody's acting like, oh, we don't know how that happened. Well, and so idolatry isn't always those kind of idols. It's anything that we put in the way of our relationship with the Lord. And so don't think of it as necessarily a single thing you're worshiping, but think through your life and say, okay, what am I doing that keeps me from having as good a relationship with the Lord as I could have? And then he talks about witchcraft, which in 2,000 years ago, witchcraft was a little different. I don't know if I've ever told you guys this story, but they have the place in Chesterfield where Camp Chesterfield, I think is what they call it. And I had just been a banker there for just a couple months. And somebody came in one time to apply. And the guy worked like at the post office. And one of the questions was, so do you have any other income? And he said, yes, I do seances and tarot card readings. And he told me he lived in Camp Chesterfield. I just didn't know what Camp Chesterfield was. And so I went, huh. And so I get back where I can talk to somebody else and I go, what is Camp Chesterfield? So, oh, well, witches and warlocks go there and they believe in all these spirits and stuff. And I went, okay. So I just didn't know what it was. So I go back and then later on they said, well, what'd you do with the loan? And I said, I know this isn't real funny, but it's kind of funny. I said, I took the loan application. I went like this and I said, okay, you tell me what the answer is. Now, I really didn't do that, but it seemed an appropriate response. And so in this case, what they're talking about is the use of medicines or drugs, and not for healing. It would be for poisoning or for sorcery purposes. And so witchcraft 2,000 years ago isn't exactly the same thing as we think of witchcraft now, but to avoid those things. And so for us, where people self-medicate on a pretty regular basis around the world, I would say this witchcraft thought comes in there. Enmity is being hostile to other people. When you ask for peace between people, and so I just finished reading Ulysses S. Grant's memoirs. I thought it was only 500 pages, but it was really, the first volume was 500 and some pages, and the second volume was 500 and some pages, but it was really interesting to read. And when you talk about the thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that died in that Civil War, maybe things aren't as bad here in some ways, but now we just aren't nice to each other. I was thinking on the way in, whatever I heard on the radio made me think of this more. And how, I don't know if you guys remember Rodney King. He was a black man in Los Angeles. Some number of policemen beat him for no real reason, it appeared. He ended up not having a very long life because he got into trouble for something else. But the press kept wanting him to talk about it, and he didn't really want to. I mean, he was just wanted to be left alone. And he finally told him, hey, can't we just all get along? Well, sometimes I think we all need to hear that. Hey, can't we all just get along? And so this enmity is that being hostile to other people all the time. Strife, the definition I've found was it's a rivalry. So rivalries aren't always bad, but it's a rivalry that ends the conflict, into quarreling. And jealousy, and I tend to think of jealousy as people, but really jealousy is you want something that somebody else has. But I tend to think of it more in relationship. Now, temper is kind of a special one because it talks about uncontrolled temper. So sometimes it's okay to be mad because, and so I talked about slavery, I think today I was thinking about it. And when people said slavery's wrong and they were mad about it, that's something that's okay to be mad about. When you see something that's a wrong in the world and it makes you mad, where you either write a letter or you speak out for it, then that kind of temper is good. Uncontrolled temper is someone, I played golf with a friend yesterday and he was talking about a golfer who I remain nameless for this thing. So he like 5 or 6 putted to green, seemed like he was just walking off until he took his putter and threw it about 50 yards into a pond. That really didn't have any value. Doesn't make any sense. Whoever said that, thank you. Doesn't make any sense. And so we don't, it's okay to have a temper as long as it's focused and you're trying to make a change in the world for better. But we don't want to be uncontrolled. We probably all know somebody that gets mad all the time and you just don't even want to be around them. Because you go, they'll get mad about something. Sky wasn't blue enough, sun came up too late, too early. I mean, there's just always some turmoil in their life. So self-seeking, so you're seeking whatever it is, but you only care about what you get out of it. Because it's all about me. It's all about me. It's whatever I can get out of it. And so you guys know I play golf, and I used to think that pro basketball and football players were more greedy than any other athletes, but I have changed my mind because it is golfers, okay? And so if you want to go look up, there's a new golf tour. It's called LIV. The Saudi Arabians are running it. And basically, they'll figure out how much everybody, so they always say, oh, everybody has a point that you can be bought. They're just figuring out what that number is, and then they're offering it to you, and people are taking it. But in our lives, that's just not real life. And it may work out for them if they're just chasing the money, but money is not everything. And a lot of the guys that are chasing money already had a lot of money. And so how much money do you really need to chase? And so this whole self-seeking, in a way, us not getting along, it seems like these are all related, that we just are so worried about me that we don't care about us. It's all about I. And it just causes so many problems. Dissension has just created a situation that drives people apart. And I think there's a whole group of people on the internet and whatever's out there, I don't care, whatever thing, that they just say things to make people, just to see if somebody will respond. Just to say, hey, I'm going to say something that is so stupid and ridiculous. Are you willing to respond so we can start to argue? And I bet we've all known people in our lives before the internet that were more than willing to do that if you would engage them. And all that's happened now is they have a bigger audience because the audience is the world, anybody that's on the internet. And so this whole idea of dissension is just creating problems between people. Envy. The definition I'm using, it's not wanting the best for others. It's that you somehow want them to fail. You want them to not do as well. And sometimes that's hard, especially if we don't think whatever's going on in their life is fair. It's not fair. And so how do we decide what's fair? It's really not up to us to decide what's fair. For Old Testament, about the worst thing you could do is be a drunkard. And so people say, oh, well, they drink wine all the time in the Old Testament. Well, yeah, they did because the water wasn't really fit to drink. And what they would do is for every two parts of wine, they would add one part of water. So it was really diluted. And so it wasn't so much about they wanted to drink wine all the time. It was a way they could drink water and do it in a safe way. That's not an issue for us, but the Muncie Mission, whoever brought that up today, the Muncie Mission, almost everybody in there, I help them with a golf tournament they do as a fundraiser. Almost everybody in there, it's about alcohol. They don't have a lot of people with drug issues. People with drug issues go someplace else. But almost all their clients' problems are related to alcohol. And so that was a problem 2,000 years ago. It's a problem now. And then carousing in this case just means we over-celebrate. It's an enjoyment, celebration that just gets totally out of control. So those are kind of the things we want to avoid, the things that are leading us away from God. But the fruit of the Spirit, those things that are going to lead us to the Lord, are love. And so in this case, love means always seeking the best for somebody else. So you're not hoping, well, they'll get what they deserve now. We're saying we hope whatever happens to them is the absolute best thing that can happen to them in the whole entire world. And it's important to remember what we think is the best thing isn't always the best thing. It's what God thinks the best thing is for them. And so joy and happiness, I think, kind of go together, but this is the joy that you can find in following the Lord. Happy doesn't last. The joy in the Lord could last forever. And so we talked about peace a couple times today, and one of the hymns talked about the peace that we can get through the Lord. And so what we want to do is that peace brings a quiet to the spirit, a confidence that's for that person's highest good. I've talked before about, if you go back and read a lot of the Christmas hymns, it talks about peace. A lot of times I think people think that means peace in the whole world. I think it really means peace in yourself. So that when things go wrong, when you have to cancel a trip, when your husband's ill, when the gas leaks in the house, and when the refrigerator dies, all in like 72 hours, you don't like lose your mind. You go, okay, we'll get through this. That's not a peace that we can give to somebody, but it's a peace that we can get through the Holy Spirit from the Lord. I mean, everybody has a limit on how many things that you go, well, that's okay. Well, that's, and then sometimes you're going, man, I just can't do this. I need help. Well, the problem is for us, a lot of times we wait too long to get help. We need to go to help right away. So this week at my house, we didn't have any gas leaks, or they're replacing all the gas lines in my neighborhood. So every time you left, you didn't know if you were going to be able to get back on the street, if you could get into the garage. So they tore up the whole driveway. So I parked on the street, then my doorbell rings, and they said, hey, we need you to move your car because we want to dig over there. So we were like chasing each other around the street. There's only 14 houses on my street. I only got so many different driveways I can park in. But those things happen. You just can't let them bother you. We don't always have the capability. We often don't have the capability to do that ourselves, but we can go to the Lord for that peace that we need to get through these things. So patience, how many of you think you're really patient with people? Okay, Steve is good. You know, me not so much, especially with the grandkids sometimes. So this patience I thought was a better definition. It's not how patient you are with people, but think how patient God is with you. And then take the patience that God shows us and reflect that onto people that we need to be patient with. Because I don't know about you guys, I've done plenty of stuff in my life that God could just thump me for. And sometimes I am not the most patient person in the world. But I think that's a good way of looking at it. It talks about fidelity, being reliable, doing what you're supposed to do, behaving the way we're supposed to behave. Gentleness, being submissive to the will of God. Now, a lot of times we take gentleness as kind of a negative. Oh, he's a gentle guy. He's a gentle person. And so we say, oh, well, he'll get taken advantage of. People will take advantage of him. Well, it's not that. It's being submissive to the will of God. Not too proud to learn. And being considerate of others. So when we have these conversations around the world now where people get all bent out of shape about one thing or the other, are we just so set in our own ways that that's the only thing that we're going to listen to or speak or hear? Are we a gentle enough soul that we can listen to the other side? Doesn't mean you have to agree. I'm talking about listening and learning. Because a lot of times, nobody's 100% right. Nobody's 100% wrong. Some things we agree with, some things we don't. That doesn't mean we can't be kind to each other. So self-control, it's being able to control ourselves in a way that allows us to serve others. Because if we're out of control, if it's all about us, then we're not any help to anyone else. We don't assist anyone else. We don't find a way to help. So I'm like 3 weeks ahead on messages, and so I'm going to jump ahead a couple weeks here. But when we talk about the Good Samaritan and what the Good Samaritan does, part of it is he's just willing to help. Everybody else that came by went, yeah, I know I could help. I'm just not gonna. And they all have their reasons. Part of it was safety. And we can come across somebody on the road now, lights are flashing, they're in the car, we don't really know what's wrong. If nothing else, just say, hey, can I call someone for you? Because almost everybody has a cell phone, unless you forget it someplace or it dies. And so if nothing else, you can always say, hey, can I call somebody for you? But if we're out of control, if we're not able to control our own emotions and feelings, it's going to be hard for us to help somebody else. And so at the end of the day, if we're able to follow the Holy Spirit, those fruits of the Holy Spirit he talked about, it allows us to create a new life in Jesus Christ, to become better people. A lot of our prayer concerns, when you get past the medical, it's about violence in the world, and it's evil. I mean, you can call it, you know, people say, oh, it's this or that. It's evil. It's evil out there when people are hurting each other. And so if we can change the world to become more like Christ, that evil is gone. And instead of people worrying about the dark, the angry, the things that they view as somehow an affront to them because somebody's trying to do something else, the Holy Spirit allows us to see the lovely things in the world. So I know some of you know this, but we have a bird's nest out this front entryway. It's a tri-level or four-level. I'm a little unsure of the building going on there. There are baby birds in it today. I didn't see any last week, but I've seen some this morning. Mom's a little skittish, but it's going to be interesting to watch them grow up, and then they're going to leave. They just do it a lot quicker than our kids do, because sometimes they just keep coming back. Go, leave the nest, fly away. And the next thing you know, hey, Mom or Dad, can we... But that's part of nature. That coming into the world, being born, seeing the ball-headed eagle. Because 30 years ago, there just weren't any around. I saw my first deer, really, at a golf course probably 45 years ago. Any night I'm going home, there's a zillion of them along 32 near the river. I don't know how that farmer feels about him eating his fields all the time. Probably not so great, but there's a zillion of them. Going to New Burlington the other day when I got to dead end off, they're just past the golf course. There was one walking across the field, and they're beautiful. But you just didn't see them. 40 or 50 years ago, they weren't around. It allows us to see God's work in nature, in people, all those things around us. Now for us, what we're supposed to do is help people find the Lord. And so I hope all of you found the Lord. I hope you're secure and grateful for the Holy Spirit leading us, just like when Joe was leading the group today. When they were following without blindfolds, it was pretty easy. When they didn't have a rope and they were blindfolded, it was pretty hard. We don't want to be blindfolded and trying to follow. We want to have our eyes wide open so that we can see how we're being led by the Holy Spirit, and we want to share that with all mankind. Amen? Let us pray. Father, let us see the Holy Spirit drive and direct us in all that we say and do. Let us be open to how you want us to relate to those around us who do not know your love and grace. Lead us in all we say and all we do with all mankind. Let us all remember we are all neighbors with each other. Amen.